外昆塔直音服务员与聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年5月30号，星期六。我们非常荣幸的邀请到敬爱的萨提亚德瓦帕布为我们讲述今天的圣典博加瓦坛的早课。感谢大家的聆听 ，Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China.
Hare Krishna, 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好啊。
Happy Saturday to you.
祝你们星期六早上快乐。
So I'm not to travel. We are recording. We're not live. We're recording a day early.
由于我这个周末要出门旅行，所以说今天的课实际上是在前一天星期五录播的。
And we have a few questions left over from last week.
然后上个星期还剩了好几个问题呢。
So the plan is to continue our reading, and I'll speak something about the verse in the purport, and then we'll attend to the questions from last week. So if you have any questions as you're hearing this broadcast and you want to send them in, you can do that.
所以说今天的计划安排，那就是我们继续来学习瓦坛的师节和要旨，然后完以后我们就来回答上一周剩下的问题。接着，如果大家要是在听这次讲课录音的过程中有什么问题的话呢，都欢迎你能够发上来。
And we also appreciate hearing your reflections. If there's something that you've learned or some insight you have.It's great if you can share it with us and others.
并且的话呢，除了问题之外，我也很欢迎大家能够分享一下你们的感想。比如说，在听了课之后，你们学到了什么，或者有了什么新的洞见，然后都欢迎你能够和我们大家一起分享。
So we all learn from other people's insights.
我们都是能够从别人的见解、洞见当中学到不少东西的。
So I will chant Jayarana Madhava and then we'll continue our reading of Canto 6, Chapter 3, and today will be verse 28.
好，所以说我现在先来唱 Jayarana Madhava， 然后我们就一起来学习今天的博加瓦坛的早课，第六篇第三章的第28诗节。
Good memory. Okay.Jayarana Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayarana Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Balada Girivana Dari Gopijana Balada Girivana Dari Yasodhananda Madhaja Janarajana Yasodhananda Madhaja Janarajana Yamuna Kiravana ChariJanati Ravana Chari Jayarana Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayarana Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balada Girivana Dari Gopi Jana Balada Girivana Dari Yasodhananda Yaja Jana Rajana Yasodhananda Yaja Jana Rajana Yasodhananda Yaja Jana RajanaYamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jayarana Madhava Kunja Bihari The Lord and Lord of the Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya 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 As I was chanting Jaya Radha Madhava, I was remembering the Jamuna.
在我刚才唱着 Jaya Radha Madhava 的时候，我就记起了 Yamuna。
I remember the first time I saw the Jamuna. That was in 1974, 75, I think.
我记得我第一次见到 Yamuna 的时候是在1974年或者1975年的样子。
Vrindavan was just a village. It wasn't so crowded and populated like it is now.
当时的文达文还只是一个小村落，然后都不像现在一样的那么繁华，有那么多的人。
Even Delhi wasn't as crowded and polluted as it is now.
然后并且当时的德里的话呢，也不像现在一样这么拥挤，然后这么多污染。
And the Jamuna was very deep and wide, and it came all the way up to Kasi Ghat.
Kasi Ghat. It's
yeah.
a place.
Yeah, Kasi Ghat. We've been there. We've been there together. But it's kind of, there's a, you know, the, if you, there's a bridge when you go kind of south of the Vrindavan, along the Jamuna, you come to a point where there's sort of a bridge in the distance. And Kasi Ghat is the Jamuna turns right there, and Kasi Ghat kind of goes out into the Jamuna. It's where Krishna killed the Kasi demon.
然后所以说我记得当时我第一次见到杨木纳河的时候，那整条河都是非常宽阔，然后非常深的，然后而且一直就是到达了那个 Kasi Ghat 的那个地方。然后我就刚才就问过我说 Kasi Ghat 是一个什么地方，然后他就说到就是如果沿着杨木纳河然后往南走，然后走到一定的距离的话，就到了那个 Kasi Ghat 的那一座桥，然后在那里就是 Krishna 然后杀死那个 Kasi 恶魔的地方。
So anyway, over the years, you know, Vrindavan's gotten more crowded, and Delhi has gotten really huge and crowded, and they divert a lot of the Jamuna River up in Delhi, so by the time it gets to Vrindavan, it's just a very small amount of water compared to what it used to be.
然后所以说随着这么多年时间的这个推移以来的话呢，现在的文达文和德里都变得非常的拥挤了，特别是德里就变得很庞大的一个城市，所以现在的话呢，在那个德里的那个地方就由于引流了一部分的杨木纳河，因此的话呢，到杨木纳河流到文达文的时候就成了一条很小的河流了。
Yeah, so they divert the Jamuna and the up in Delhi, and they use the water, and then whatever's left over after it's been polluted, they put back into the Jamuna, and that comes down to Vrindavan.
因此的话，就在这个德里的地方的话呢，当地人就是把那个水拿来给利用起来，然后是说就使用了大量的这个亚木纳河里的水，然后他们用完了以后，又把比如说这个废水可能要经过处理之后，然后又再排到这个亚木纳河里，然后因此等到亚木纳河流到文达文的时候，都已经成了很小的河流了。
But since the pandemic and the economic shutdown.The Jamuna is now full, and it's very clear and clean as it flows through Vrindavan. I've seen pictures of it.
但是由于这次的这个全球疫情的发生，然后使得整个这个德里地区，然后整个印度不是都关闭了嘛，隔离了，然后经济也停滞了，然后因此的话呢，故意说他看到那个照片的话，现在的亚木纳河留在文达文那里的，然后又变得河水变得非常清澈，然后非常的干净，然后而且就是整个就是看上去这个就是含量那个水的水量是非常大的。
So I was remembering the clean Jamuna, the full and clean Jamuna that we have right now as I was chanting Jayavada Madhava.
因此在我刚才唱着 Jayavada Madhava 的时候，我就在回忆起，然后看到了这段时间的那么宽阔，那么水量充足的干净的 Yamuna 河。
And I was praying that we stop polluting it and keep it nice.
然后我就祈祷着，然后能够不再去污染这条河流，然后使它继续保持这么美好的样子。
Okay, so let's have a reading. We're reading chapter 3, which Yamaraj is instructing his messengers about the glories of the holy name, the glories of the devotees.
好，我们就一起来阅读圣典摩迦瓦坛的第六篇第三章。阎罗王吩咐他的使者，然后在这一章节里，阎罗王就是在向亚玛都他们教导关于圣名的荣耀以及奉献者的荣耀。
And last week, Yamaraj was specifically telling his messengers never to approach devotees for any reason, that devotees are not under his jurisdiction.
然后在上一周的师节中，阎罗王就特别是向他的使者上亚玛都他们说到，不要以任何的理由去靠近、接近奉献者，因为奉献者并不属于他的管辖范围之内。
He says, because the devotees are surrendered to the Supreme Lord, when they glorify the name of the Lord, even the demigods and the perfected beings in Siddhaloka, they listen in.On the devotees singing and chanting.
然后阎罗王就说到，由于奉献者们臣服于至尊主，当他们在荣耀着至尊主的荣耀的时候，然后诞生人呐，或者是斯达诺卡，也就是神秘星宿上面的那些完美的人士，他们都会去聆听奉献者的歌唱，聆听奉献者的歌颂。
So then Yamaraj, he told his messengers, don't go near them because they are protected by the club of Lord Vishnu.
阎罗王就接着就说到，所以你们就不要去靠近奉献者，完全不要去靠近他们，因为他们是受到主 Vishnu 的这个搭档的保护的。
Lord Vishnu, if anyone threatens Lord Vishnu's devotees, Lord Vishnu will beat that person with his club.
So, if 任何一个人要是威胁到主 Vishnu 和奉献者的话，主 Vishnu 就会用他的大棒去教训这个人。
So it's in that context that we'll read today's verse.
因此，举这样的一个上下文背景，我们就一起来阅读今天的瓦坛师节吧。
So text 28.
一起来看28师节。
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Kan-an-ni-ya-bhagam-asato mukma-mukunde Radha-vinna-makavanda-vasara-jasram Nishkin-chinne-pa-mahansa-kula-asanda Jashtag-vihe-niraya-vartamini-bodha-trishnam Tan
Taman
Ananda Vam
带到我面前
Asata
非奉献者那些没开始培养 Krishna 知觉的
Vimukhan
变得反对
Mukunda
至尊人格守神 Mukunda 的
Pada Ayavinda
莲花族的
Makaranda
蜜糖的
Rasat
味道
Just from
持续的
Miss Kinchinai
被完全免于物质执着的人
Paramahansa Kulai
被至尊天如最崇高的人。
A Sangai.
没有物质依恋的。
Just that.
被享受的。
Grihe.
对家庭生活。
Nirvana Vaipani.
通往地狱之途。
The path leading to hell. Maya Trishnam.
被什么什么的欲望束缚。
Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Paramahamsas are exalted persons who have no taste for material enjoyment and who drink the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are adverse to the taste of that honey. Who do not associate with Paramahamsas.And who are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell.
译文：至尊天鹅是不喜欢物质享乐，却喜欢喝饮至尊主莲花足蜜糖的崇高人物。亲爱的仆人们，只把那些反对喝那蜜糖、不与至尊天鹅联谊、依恋。构建地狱之路的家庭生活及物质享乐的人带到我这里来接受惩罚。I continue this purport.
Yes, please.
要指阎罗王警告他的命令执行官亚玛都塔不要接近非圣者后，现在指示他们该把谁带到他的面前。他尤其忠告他的命令执行官把那些依恋以性生活为中心的家庭生活的人带到他面前。正如圣典伯加瓦坛中所说，人们仅仅是为了性生活才依恋家庭生活，他们因为从事物质事物而总是有各种烦恼，他们唯一的快乐就是在一整天辛苦工作后回家睡觉过性生活。经典中说，他们夜晚睡觉或沉溺于性行为，白天赚钱维持家人的生活。阎罗王特别告诉他的仆人们，把这样的人带到他面前给予惩罚，而不是奉献者们。这些奉献者总在试吃至尊主莲花足上的蜂蜜，并因为同情并平等对待众生而努力传播库什那知觉。奉献者不会受到阎罗王的惩罚，但没有有关库什那知觉的人。知觉知识的人却不会因为他们过所谓的家庭享乐的物质生活而受到保护。圣典伯加瓦坛第二篇第一章的第四十节说，对灵性知识毫无概念的人，因为太依恋躯体、孩子和妻子等靠不住的战士，所以不深入探求生命的问题，尽管有了足够的体验，他们还是看不清他们注定要毁灭。这种人完全相信他们的国家、社团或家庭可以保护他们，不知道这些不可靠的战士在一定的时间内都将被毁灭。总之，人应该努力与那些一天24小时都在做奉献服务的人交往联谊。要旨结束 ，and to pull.
Thank you. Om Ganatam Vandishyam Gananjana Samakkam Chachayinvaitam Enatasman Shri Gurudai Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kinamani Namaste Saraswati Deva Gurudani Pacharine Nivishesha Sunivadi Pashatayati Shatani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Guru Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakarpa Turi Vyashtra Kripa Sinu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanidu Vishnu Vibhuna Namaha May all every beast be free of suffering.
愿所有的生命体都不再受苦。
May all every beast be happy.
愿所有的生命体都快乐。
And may all every beings awaken and discover their true self in their relationship with Krishna.
愿所有的生命体都得以觉醒，觉醒到他们真正的自我以及与 Krishna 之间永恒的关系。
So in this verse, Yamaraj is mentioning who his messenger should never approach, and then he's also mentioning the type of persons that are in his jurisdiction that the messenger should bring to him.
所以在上一个世界中，阎罗王提到的是他是在告诉他的使者哪一些人，也就是奉献者，是他们绝对不应该去靠近的。而在今天这个世界中，阎罗王就向他的使者们提到，那么哪些类型的人是处于他的管辖范围之内，是他的使者、他的命令执行官们应该带到他面前接受惩罚的人。
So in this verse we have the word Paramahansa.
在这个世界中就提到了这个词，至尊天鹅 Paramahansa.
So the topmost devotees are called Paramahansas.
因此至尊的就是处于 顶级位置的奉献者就被称为至尊天鹅。
Now maybe some of you know the meaning of this word.
也许你们当中的一些人知道这个词的含义。
Do you know the meaning, Mary?
No.
Well, Hamsa is a swan.
It is actually translated as topmost swan in Chinese.
Oh, I see. So Hamsa, just the word, yeah, if you dissect it and you take away the parama and you just have Hamsa,Hamsa is a swan.
然后所以这个 Paramahansa 这个梵文词，如果把它分为两部分的话呢，后面这个 Hamsa 这个词的意思就是指天鹅。
And so when we think of beautiful exalted birds, we think of swans.
因此当我们想到就是什么样的鸟是非常美丽、非常崇高的呢？那就会想到是天鹅了。
And when we think of a bird that's opposite of a swan, what do we think of?
Crow.
Yes. Because the crows sound horrible and they eat anything, right?
所以我就说，如果我们想到就是什么样的鸟是跟天鹅刚好相反的呢？然后我说是乌鸦，因为我就说对，就是想到乌鸦，因为乌鸦就是声音又很难听，而且什么都吃，就是对于吃方面没有任何的这种选择。
And nobody enjoys looking at crows.
所以没有任何人享受喜欢看到乌鸦的那个样子。
But we enjoy looking at swans.
但是看着天鹅的话，我们是很享受的。
Because they're so clean, white, and elegant, right?
因为天鹅看上去就是那么的洁白，那么的美丽，然后那么的高雅。
So, you know, it's said in the swans, if you pour some milk into water, the swan is able to separate the milk from the water and only take the milk.
They actually do that?
I don't think so, but it's written that they can do that.
It's written in the Vedas?
I think so.
然后所以就过去说他想的话应该是在韦达经里面都记载到，那就是当人们如果去把牛奶倒在水里面来去喂那个天鹅的话，天鹅是有能力能够把牛奶和水给分开来，然后他就只喝牛奶不喝水。
So a Paramahansa is a devotee who is at the most advanced stage of devotion.
因此至尊天鹅就指的是那些处在最进步、最顶尖位置的奉献者。
And these devotees, they see everyone and everything in relationship to the Lord. They don't see anyone as separate from the Lord.
而这种类型的奉献者，他们在他们眼里，所有的一切事物，所有的一切生灵，都是和至尊主相关联的。然后他们在他们眼里不，没有任何事物是和至尊主是相分离的。
Yeah, so even though the material world is a temporary hellish place, where everyone has forgotten the Lord, the exalted devotees.Even though they're in the material world, they see everything in relationship to the Lord.
嗯，因此，即便在这个短暂的像地狱一般的物质世界里，然后几乎人人都遗忘了至尊主，遗忘了至尊主的关系。但是的话呢，崇高的奉献者，他们即便身处这个物质世界，但是在他们眼里，所有的一切与至尊主都是相关联的。
And so, as soon as we recognize ourselves and our relationship with the Lord, there's a nectar, there's a certain taste in that recognition that I belong to the Lord.
嗯，因此一旦当我们能够认识到真正的自我，能够认识到我们和至尊主之间的关系，那么在这样的一种关系中，这种认识当中呢，就是我属于主的这样一种认识中，就会有一定的品味，一定的滋味在里面。
And so that's available even for, you know, the beginning neophyte devotee. There's some certain taste when we are devoted to the Lord.
嗯，那么即便是对于初级奉献者来说，当我们就是去愿意投身于去对主的奉爱服务当中的时候，这当中都是有一定的滋味的。
Yeah, so the qualification for bhakti.Is faith.
对于 bhakti, 什么才是资格呢？那就是信心。你有信心的话，那你就有资格来进行 bhakti.
Yeah, so anyone who has faith in the Lord can, you know, offer some water or fruit or a leaf or say the Lord's name with genuine love and feeling.
因此任何一个对主有信心有信念的人都可以向主供奉一些水花朵或者是树叶食物，然后他们带着真实的真正的情感与爱去喊出至尊主的名字。
Yeah, so the one more is devoted, the more awakened one is, the more that one can see everything in relationship to the Lord, the more one can taste that nectar, that rasa.
Nectar or rasa from the relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. 所以说一个什么样一个人是怎样对至尊主拥有更多的觉悟呢？那就是在他眼里，他能够越发的去看到所有的一切都是和至尊主相关联的，并且他能够品尝到在他和至尊主之间的这种 rasa 这种滋味这种甘露的话，那就意味着他的这种领悟是拥有了的，觉悟是拥有了的。
Yeah, so the topmost devotees are always experiencing their ecstatic relationship with the Lord.
而顶级的奉献者，也就是至尊天鹅们，他们总是能够去体验到和至尊主之间的狂喜的、充满爱的关系滋味。
Practically, they cannot look at anything in the material world and not see the presence of the Lord there.
而从实际来说，那就是他们无法能够看到在这个物质世界没有任何一个东西是没有至尊主的这种关联而存在着的。
And they're always aware of how the Lord is their protector and maintainer.
并且他们总是能够觉知到主就在那里，在保护他们，在维系他们。
So, Yamara says, don't approach those devotees. You can't.Don't approach any devotee, especially those devotees.
因此阎罗王就对他的命令执行官们就说道，不要去靠近奉献者，尤其是不要去靠近这种顶级的奉献者。
But then he tells his messengers, okay, this is who you can bring to me.
然后在今天这个世界中，阎罗王就向他的使者们说道，好，那这些类型的人就是你们可以带到我面前的人了。
Persons who have no faith, no devotion to the Lord.
一个对于至尊主没有任何信心，没有任何这种对信心的一个人。
One who have no association with those Paramahansas who do have a relationship with the Lord.
或者是一个和至尊天鹅没有任何联谊往来，或者是和任何一个这种奉献者没有任何联谊往来的这样一个人。
And especially those persons who are very attached to family life and have no other higher aspirations in life than to eat, drink, and have sex.
然后尤其是那些非常执着于家庭生活，然后除了吃喝享受性行为之外，就再没有其他更高的追求的这些人。
So we shouldn't misunderstand this verse.
但我们不应该误解这个细节。
It doesn't mean if someone has a, you know, an attachment to sex life that he automatically is brought before Yamaraj.
我们不应该去理解这个细节就意味着是任何一个人只要是对这个性生活对性是有依附有执念的，那么他就会被带到阎罗王的面前，并不是这个意思。
And Krishna says that his sex life is in line with religious principles.
Krishna says that sex life is in line with the religious
principles. Krishna says that if somebody is having sex life according to religious principles, that he is that sex life that represents him.
Okay. So Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》当中就说到，如果一个人是遵循宗教原则来进行性生活的话，那么至尊主他本人就是这个性行为，这个性生活，然后他本人就代表了这个性行为、性生活。
Yeah, so, you know, if we read this verse, we might think that, wow, Yamaraj, he's so mean, because, you know, everybody in this material world is attached to sex life, to one degree or another.
所以如果我们要是读到这个师姐的话呢，可能第一印象就是觉得，哇，原来我好那个，应该怎么说，好刻薄，或者是好那个啥。然后就是因为这个物质世界当中，几乎人人每一个人都是在某种程度上是依附于执着于性行为性的，所以说但是每个人都要被带到他面前了。
And if no one was attached to sex life, then there'd be no more babies and the human life would be finished.
而如果要是没有人依附于这个性行为的话，那人类也就不用繁衍了，那就没有任何的这个小婴儿会诞生了，那人类也就会彻底的这个走向灭亡了。
And there's also the verse in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 10 where Krishna says that he is actually Cupid or the cause of sex life.
然后并且在《薄伽梵歌》第十章当中，库西拉他也说到了，他就是丘比特，也就是他就是性行为的原因。
Otherwise, there would be no procreation. No one would go through that hassle.
然后否则的话呢，就不会有这个繁衍的行为了。那也没有人和人愿意去经历那一系列的那种，就说很糟心的，然后很令人觉得心生厌烦的这个过程了。
So let's try and sort all of this out.
所以我们让我们一起来把这一块弄明白吧。
Well, if we go, oh, Gecko says, yes, let's sort it out. So, you know, the purpose of human life is for self-realization.
那么人类生命的目的或者叫意义之所以存在，那就是为了自我觉悟。
Tata Brahma Jigansa. Now that you have a human life, you actually have the ability to inquire about what is the real self and become free of all suffering.
既然现在已经有了人体生命，那么你就有了能力能够去询问什么才是真正的自我，怎样才能从所有的痛苦中解脱出来。
Because animals are not self-aware, they can't inquire.
由于动物是没有自我觉知的，因此他们无法问询。
Yeah, so...If you have a human body and you're not searching for the answer of who am I and why am I here, then according to Vedic considerations, you're an animal.
嗯，因此如果你有一具人类的身体，但是你却不去利用这具身体来询问我是谁，为什么我在这里，那么根据韦达经的这个记载，这个韦达经的教导的话，那么你实际上就和动物没有任何区别。
So we have a human body.
当然，所以说我们都有一具人类的身体。
And we have these four animalistic tendencies.
We have these four animal tendencies.
Yes.
嗯，并且我们具有动物的四种行为，四种动物型的行为倾向。
Yeah, we have to eat.
那就是吃。
We have to protect ourselves.
必须防御保护自己。
We have to sleep.
必须睡觉。
And we have the urge to procreate.
然后并且还有繁衍的冲动。
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
嗯，所以说有这个繁衍的冲动是很正常的，并没有任何问题。
But if you're a human being and you only concern yourself with that,then you're not using, you know, the potential of your human life.
嗯，但是如果你具有人类的身体，但是你却只是在意着繁衍，然后除了繁衍之外，其他什么都不在意的话，那么这就你就没有充分的去运用人类身体的潜力。
So Krishna says in the Gita that one who lives a life just, you know, to eat, sleep, mate, and defendlives a life in vain.
嗯，因此 Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》当中就说到，如果一个人他度过自己的人生，只是为了去吃东西、睡觉，然后防御，然后并且是这个交配，那么他的人生完全也就是白活了。
So Yamaraj's job is to punish such persons so that.They eventually will awaken.
嗯，阎罗王的职责就是去惩罚这种类型的人，这样以帮助他们能够得以最终觉醒。
Because it's, you know, you can't awaken from a nice dream. You can only awaken from a bad dream.
嗯，因为人是没法从一个美梦当中醒来的，人只能从噩梦当中醒来。
So.Prabhupada, he quotes some verses from the Bhagavatam to illustrate the mentality of a materialistic person and how materialism really revolves around sex life.
嗯，就他就引用了《薄伽梵谈》当中的一个诗节来阐明这种物质主义者的他们的心态。这种是怎样的状况，并且来阐明就是物质生活是怎样围绕着性而产生的。
So first he quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Yam Naitu Nari Guhya Medi Sukham Hitucham。
嗯，所以他在样子当中首先引用的是在大家可以看到就是第五行的样子，嗯，然后刚才古鲁练的那一句梵文。
So this is a verse from actually spoken by Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto.
嗯，而这个诗节的话呢，是《薄伽瓦坛》当中第七篇当中 Prahlad Maharaj 所说的一句话。
And Prabhupada often quoted this verse. I don't think it's in the top 10, but it's up there.
嗯，他看到也是经常引用这个诗节就是了。
Yam Naitu Nari Guhya Medi Sukham Hitucham. So, Hitucham means very, something that's actually very insignificant.
嗯，然后这个句子当中的最后那两个词 Hitucham 大家可以看到，然后比如说这个词的意思就是指真的是非常微不足道的事物。
Yeah, so for the gross materialists, practically, men,gross materialistic men, all they can think about is intoxication and having sex. That's why they work so hard.
嗯，就是对于那些非常粗糙的物质主义者来说，对于这些人当中的男性来说，他们就是之所以努力工作、努力赚钱，目的就是为了食用麻醉品，并且享受性生活。
Yes, so practically all day long.Especially young boys, teenagers, All day long, they're thinking of women and in their mind, they're having sex with them.
嗯，所以说基本上就是对于那些年轻的小伙子，然后年幼那些就是十多岁的这些男孩子来说，他们可能一整天脑海里想的都是他们的心意里面想的都是和女人的这种性行为。
And so the Sanskrit word for sex is maitu.
嗯，然后在梵文当中，性的这词叫做 maitu。
And so maitu na'ari means sex life and everything related to that.
嗯，所以这个诗句当中的 maitu na'ari 就指的是性以及所有与性相关的一切。
And so those who are lost in the mind, always thinking of sex life, they like to talk about it all the time as well.
嗯，然后因此对那些迷失在性之中，并且总是想着性生活的人来说，他们也总是会谈论性生活。
Yeah, so they're not only having sex life all the time, they're talking about it all the time.
嗯，因此他们不仅是一直在享受性生活，并且也一直在谈论性生活。
They like to read about it.
但喜欢读书也读这方面的东西。
And then they like to visit places where they can meet girls to have sex.
嗯，然后并且他们喜欢去的地方也是那些可以让他们见到异性、见到女孩子的地方。
Yeah, and even if they happen to get married, they often, have one or two relationships on the side as well.
嗯，而且即便是就是说结了婚之后，他们也很有可能会有这个婚外恋等等。
So someone who is absorbed like this and has no restraint, you could say that they are the candidate for meeting Yamaraj.
因此的话呢，像这样的人，他们完全沉浸在性之中，然后并且对自己毫无限制、毫无束缚的话，那么这样的人可以说那就是去拜见阎罗王的候选人了。
But from a devotee's point of view, if you analyze the sex urge, it's something very insignificant.
But for devotees, they analyze?
From a devotee's point of view, sex life is something that's, the enjoyment of sex is something very insignificant.
Mm-hmm.然后的话呢，从奉献者的角度来看，性行为所带来的享乐、所带来的欢乐、欢愉，实际上是非常微不足道的。
Because the devotee is introspective, they're able to observe the urges of the body.
嗯，因为奉献者是。非常内省的，也就是往内观看的，他们能够去看到，they are able to see the urge, right?
Yeah, they are able to observe these urges of the body and mind.
他们能够去观察身体和心意当中出现的这些欲动、这些冲动。
Yeah, this is really the first verses in the Nectar of Instruction. The first instruction we get from Rupa Goswami, he mentions these urges.
嗯，所以就是我们在这个教诲的甘露当中，第一师节 Rupa Goswami 他所给到的这个训示。
Yes, I forgot the verse off the top of my head. We find it in the Nectar of Instruction. Here we go.
嗯，我们在这个教诲的甘露当中。
Yes, Rupa Goswami, he says, Vashya Vegam, Manasakoda Vegam, Jivan Vegam, Udaya Pasta Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yavishihaita Dera, Sarvam Apimam, Pritigam Sasisha. He says, a sober person can tolerate the urge to speak.
所以他在这个细节当中 Rupa Goswami 就写到一个清醒的人能够去容忍想要去说话的冲动
The mind's urges
所以不能指的 what?
the mind's demands.
哦，并且他们能够去容忍心意的训斥，心意的这种命令，对。
And the urge of anger.
以及愤怒的冲动。
The urge of the tongue.
舌头的冲动。
The belly.
肚子，这个胃口的冲动。
And the genitals.
以及生殖器的冲动。
So he's saying a person who can observe these urges and tolerate them, he's qualified to actually have disciples.
因此，维帕戈斯瓦米在这里就说到，如果一个人能得以去观察这些冲动、这些欲动，并且能够得以去容忍他们，那么这样的人就有资格来获得门徒。
Yeah, so a devotee is engaged in realization and he becomes introspective.
一个奉献者他进入到他从事于自我觉悟之中，因此他就会变得是非常的内省的，或者叫做往内观看的。
And so we have urges in our mind and body.
我们的心意和身体当中都是有冲动的。
So in the animals, they just follow these urges.
而对于动物来说，当这些冲动或者是欲动出现的时候，他们就直接去跟着这些冲动走了。
But because a human being is self-aware, he can actually observe these urges.
然而，由于人类是有自我觉知的，因此人类可以去观察这些冲动。
We can observe our thoughts.
我们可以观察自己的念头。
And we can observe the urge to say something.
并且我们可以去观察自己想去说什么话的这种冲动。
We can observe our feelings of anger or lust.
我们可以去观察自己的感受，比如说愤怒的感受，或者色欲的感受。
Or the urge to taste or eat something.
或者是想要吃什么，想要喝什么东西的这种冲动。
Or even the urge to have sex.
甚至是这种想要进行性行为的冲动。
Now, these bodily urges and thoughts, they arise and pass away very quickly.
而这些身体的冲动的话呢，是出现的，很快的出现又消失。
Yeah, if you observe the urge in your mind and your body, and you don't act upon it, you don't try and push it away, but you just allow it to be there, it will just arise and pass away.
如果当你去观察心意和身体当中出现的这些欲动、这些冲动的时候，你并没有对其采取任何行为，然后并没有去跟着他们走，然后就是完全被这些冲动给牵着鼻子走，然后但同时的话呢，你又没有试图努力的去把他们推到一边，试图努力的去排斥掉他们，那么此时的话你就会看到他们会很快的出现又消失。
Of course, Krishna says if you meditate on this urge, then you'll be overwhelmed by it, and then you'll have to do it.
当然 ，Krishna 也说过，如果你要是去冥想于这些冲动、这些意念、这些念头的话，那么这些冲动就会把你给征服了。然后你就会真正的是去被他们牵着鼻子走的一样的这种去做这些事情。
So Krishna says, one who cannot tolerate these urges, for that person, self-realization is almost impossible.
因此 Krishna 说，对于一个无法去容忍这些冲动的人来说，那么自我觉悟几乎是不可能的事情。
But when you begin to observe these urges and you see how temporary they are,and how they ultimately can never be satisfied, you see them as insignificant.
当你能够开始去观察这些念头、感受和冲动的话，你就会得以看到他们是多么的短暂易逝，并且最终是跟永远都不会被彻底满足的。那么你就会发现这些实际上是非常微不足道的。
So therefore, Krishna says, in order to control the senses, the first thing you have to do is you, You have to regulate them. You have to give them some boundaries, some limit.
嗯，因此 Krishna 说，要想去控制你的感官，那么首先你就要去节制你的感官，约束你的感官，然后给你的感官的享乐上面施加一些限制。
Yeah, so it's okay to engage in these urges responsibly.
嗯，因此的话呢，如果你是负责任的去进入到这些冲动之中。然后进入到这些运动之中的话，那是没问题的。
Yeah, so we have a material body, we can eat, sleep, mate, and defend.
嗯，那我们有这样一个物质的身体，我们能够去吃睡，防御以及交配。
But we shouldn't just simply live for these urges. We should have some higher purpose.
嗯，然而的话，我们不应该仅仅是为了这些动物的这种倾向而活，而是应该找到并且活出一些更高的目的和意义的。
And so the way one controls sex life, according to religious principles, is to marry and only have sex with the person you're married to.
嗯，因此一个人能根据宗教原则去控制自己的性欲的话，那么方式就是去结婚，然后并且只和婚姻伴侣发生性行为。
And then to responsibly care for and raise the children that are born of that sexual union.
嗯，并且的话呢，负责任的去培养、去抚养那些。诞生于这样一个婚姻关系当中的孩子。
Yeah, so we have to take responsibility for the results of our actions.
我们必须要为自己行为的结果承担起责任。
And then, therefore, marriage is called a sacrifice, a sacrament, or actually a spiritual act of purification.
Spiritual act of purification. 因此的话呢，婚姻实际上是被称为带来净化作用的灵性的行为。
So marriage actually is spiritually very helpful if it's done according to religious principles.
因此的话，如果一个人是根据宗教原则来维系婚姻的话，那么婚姻就会给这个人带来灵性上带来非常大的注意。
But if someone engages in unrestricted sex life and ignores religious principles, then he not only creates violence towards himself, but to others as well.
然而如果一个人完全是不受限制的去享受性生活，然后忽略宗教原则，那么他不仅是在对他自己施加暴力，并且也是在对周围的人施加暴力。
And any one of these urges, especially the sex urge, if you just unrestrictedly always think about sex, always have sex, it becomes an addiction.
而所有刚才提到的那些人类的身体冲动，特别是这个性的冲动，如果一个人要是这种毫无节制的去想着性行为，或者是享受性行为的话，那么addiction. 那么这种状态的话呢，像就是一种上瘾的状态了。
Yeah, so pornography on the internet is a big problem for a lot of people.
而网络上的色情行业的话呢，对于许多人来说是个很大的问题了。
Yeah, so when you have an addiction, you know what you're doing is not good for you, but you can no longer control it.
那么当一个人对某种事物上瘾的话，那么他知道这样做是不好的，对自己不好的，但是他却完全没有任何控制，不得不去做这个事情。
So Yamaraj says, you can bring this type of person to me. I'll take care of him.
所以阎罗王就在对他的奇观们说，你们就可以把这种类型的人带到我面前，我会来好好照顾他们的。
Yeah, practically speaking, when we have an addiction, whether it's to sex or to food or to gambling, It's all suffering from beginning to end.
Yeah. 而从实际层面来看，当我们要是有一种上瘾行为的话，无论是对性上瘾，还是对某种食物上瘾，还是说是对赌博上瘾，这种比如说做某种风险行为的这种上瘾的话，那实际上其本质就是一种痛苦，而且是从头到尾都是令人痛苦的。
So, one of the causes of suffering is called Abhinibeshita.
这个导致受苦的原因之一被称为 Abhinibeshita,
which is called fear of death.
这个意思就是指对死亡的恐惧。
So, we all have this fear of death.
我们每个人都有对死亡的恐惧。
It's wired into our brain, into our body.
可以说这种对死亡的恐惧是已经是固定在我们的这个大脑固定这种就是本身就自带的大脑就自带的然后身体是自带的。
And so the fear of death has a, you could say, another aspect that increases one's material attachment.
The fear of death has another aspect that increases the attachment to material life.
Yeah.
而对死亡的恐惧的话呢，还包含有另一个方面，而这另一个方面就会增加一个人对于物质生活的依附和执念。
It actually increases our attachments, to our family, to the land of our birth.To our identification, whatever it is, as Chinese or American.
实际上这个就会增加我们可能，实际上这就会增加我们对于家庭生活，对于出生地，对于我们所拥有的任何一种物质上的认同的依附。
So even though we know we're going to die,
因此即便我们知道自己总有一天会死去
，and we try our best not to think about it.
然后我们尽自己最大努力不去想着自己会死去。
It's always in the background.
然后这种对死亡的恐惧的话呢，却总是一直处在我们心意的背景之中。
And we get a false sense of security when we're surrounded by our family members.
而当我们身边环绕着家人的时候，就会获得一种虚假的安全感。
Or when we're surrounded by people who believe like we do.
或者是我们的身边环绕着和我们有着同样的信念、同样的追求、同样的信仰的人的时候，我们也会获得一种安全感，虚假的安全感。
And so Prabhupada quoted a verse, so actually, so in the Bhagavatam, the family members and being surrounded by a community of people who believe like we do, the Bhagavatam calls these people fallible soldiers.
Fallible soldiers.
Yeah.
所以在不在瓦坛当中的话呢，就把这些身边环绕着就是和他们有同样信念、同样信心的这些人，有同样追求的这些人，就是大家都是同一个社团啊，同一个区域里面的这些人的话呢，国家瓦坛就把这些人称为是叫做容易犯错的战士。
Just like a rich person, right? He's afraid of someone attacking him or kidnapping him, so he'll have a bodyguard.
这就像是一个很有钱的人，他会害怕有人会绑架他呀，然后袭击他呀，因此他就必须要去雇佣那些保镖来保护他的人身安全。
Yeah, so we think that a bodyguard or a soldier can protect us.
然后因此我们会认为一个保镖、一个战士能够保护我们。
Yeah, so when we're around our family or we're around others who believe like us, we're thinking, somehow I'm protected from dying. Somehow they'll protect me.
因此当我们身边都围绕着家人或者围绕着 和我们志同道合的人的话，那么我们就不知怎的就会觉得自己受到了保护，受到了这些人的保护的话呢，以至于我不会死亡。
But actually, our family members also have to die, so they can't really protect us.
然而的话，我们的家人也会死去，他们也是无法真正保护我们的。
So at the end of the purport, Prabhupada quoted this verse from the second canto of Bhagavatam.
因此，在这要旨的最后部分，帕帕就引用了《不教法坛》第二篇的内容。
Deha patra kalatra adishu atma sanyeshu asatsu api tesam pramitam nidhanam vashyamapi napashyati. So it's an interesting verse. It's one of my favorite verses, actually.
所以就是大家可以看到今天这个要旨当中最后引用的不教法坛的这个诗节，故说是他个人最喜欢的一个法坛的诗节了，所以是非常有趣的诗节。
294. Oh yeah, it's in my verse book. So, patra means children.
这个当中提到的一个词 patra.
Kalatra means wife.
Patra 的意思是孩子，然后 kalatra 的意思是妻子。
And sanyasu means friends and, you know, people who are like me.
然后第二排这个 sanyasu 的意思就是指朋友或者是像我一样的人。
And so these are like people who we feel like are protecting us from death.
而这些人的话呢，孩子、妻子和志同道合的人，我们就会觉得自己受到这些人的保护，然后就不会死亡。
And we become very attached to them.
然后就会变得非常非常依附于他们。
You know, even we'll think, okay, and you know, when I die, they'll remember me.
然后甚至我们会想着，当我死了以后的话呢，这些人还会记忆，还会回忆我。
Right? They'll go to my gravestone and leave flowers.
他们会去到我的墓碑前，然后给我献上一朵花。
So in some ways, you know, we think of death as being forgotten, that everyone's going to forget me, right?
所以我们在某种程度上会认为，就说我们完全会被这个世界遗忘，会被所有人遗忘，对吧？
But even if I die, my son, my wife, my daughter, they're going to remember me. My grandsons, they'll remember me. So it's okay.
所以，但是当我们死亡了之后的话呢，我们的儿子。然后我们的妻子、孩子，然后甚至是孙子、孙女的话，都会回忆起我。然后因此的话呢，这一切都是挺 OK， 都挺好的。
Why does everyone, you know, build these big, you know, gravestones and, you know, memorial places, you know, to be buried? Because they want to be remembered and not forgotten, right?
所以为什么人们会在这个会修建起这种巨大的墓碑呢，然后会去修那些墓碑啊，那些纪念地啊，然后等等的，那就是因为他们想希望自己在死后是不会被遗忘的，是能够仍然被世人记忆怀念的。
So it's not logical, but somehow we're thinking that this is somehow helping me to survive death if I have others who are going to remember me.
所以这实际上是并无逻辑的，但是不知怎的，我们就会认为，只要我在我死后还有人能够回忆我，能够怀念我，那么这就会不知怎的帮到我去，克服死亡，去使得我能够在死亡当中生存下来。
So promoter means to become more attached.
这个世界当中的那个梵文词 pramato， 也就是第三排的中间词，是指更加依恋，更加执着。
So we become, because of fear of death, we actually become more attached to our family members.
由于对死亡的恐惧，我们就会变得更加依附于我们的亲人。
And then my favorite part of this verse is at the end. It's not in the purport, but it's, if you look at the full verse, oh no, it is there. It is at the end. Pashyamapi napashyati, which means, Pashyam means see.
So even as a Pashyam means what?
To see.
Part C， 嗯，就补足了他最喜欢的这个诗节的部分，就是这个诗节的第四句话。这个第一个词 passion 的意思就是指去看到。
Yeah, so passion appears in a passionate means even though you see, or even though I see, actually I don't see.
然后所以这个诗节的最后一句话就是指，即便我看见了，但是我并没有真正的看见。
So happy means even, passion happy means even though you see, not passionate, not means don't, you don't.
所以这个诗节的最后一句话呢，大家可以看到，这个 passion 就是指看见， happy 就是指甚至， not 就是不，所以说你即便你看见了，但是你实际上都并没有看见。
So in more of the 12 aspects of knowledge in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna mentions, he talks about how a devotee, one who wants to become self-realized, he doesn't forget. He actually meditates on how everything is temporary, even one's family members.
So, so Krishna 在《博赞梵歌》当中所谈到的关于知识的十二个方面，然后他就说到，在对于奉献者或者是对于那些想要自我觉悟的或者已经自我觉悟的人来说，他们并没有他们并不会去遗忘死亡，然后他们反而会去冥想这个世界上的一切事物。包括家人、亲人都是多么的短暂易逝。
So for the devotee actually meditates on the impermanence of this material world. Everything in the material world is temporary.
因此的话，奉献者会去冥想这个世界所有的一切都是不永恒的，都是短暂的。
Yeah, so for devotee,the impermanence of the material world is actually a motivation, you know, for our spiritual life.
因此对奉献者来说，这个物质世界的短暂性反而是推动着我们在灵性上取得进步的动力。
But a non-devotee very attached to sexual enjoyment, they don't want to hear about the topic of death or impermanence.
然而的话，对于非奉献者来说，他们想要去享受性生活的这些人来说，那么就不想去谈论这个世界的短暂，不想去谈论死亡。
So long as he instructs his messengers, that's the type of person you should bring to me.
因此阎罗王就对他的使者们说，就这种类型的人，就是你们得带到我面前的这些人。
So, I better stop speaking now because we still have a lot of questions from last week.
Okay. So, 不如说现在正课就讲完了，因为还有不少问题是上个星期留下来的呢。Okay. So, let's look at the questions.
Okay.
好，我们来一起看着上个星期剩下的问题。我来找一找。OK， 我们来看上星期剩下的第一个问题是韦月劳妈他姐问的，顶戴姑姑和群里的所有奉献者，请问姑姑，丈夫不是奉献者，也不能得到他的同意，这种情况能够脱避灵性导师吗？ So this mother is offering her obeisances unto you, and she's asking that her husband is not a devotee, and for her to get initiation will also not get the approval from the husband. So.As for such situation, will she still be able to take shelter from the spiritual master?
Sure.
这种情况当然可以，能够依然去脱离灵性导师。
Yeah, you can take shelter of someone as your shiksha guru, which is normally what you do before initiation anyway.
所以说你当然可以去找到一位训示灵性导师来托庇于他，这种情况是你在正式启迪之前都会经历过的这样一个正常的程序。
You accept someone as your shiksha guru.
你接受某个人作为你的 shiksha guru, 作为你的训示灵性导师。
Yeah, someone who's teaching inspires you.
然后这个人的话呢，他的教导是会给予你灵感，给予你鼓舞的。
And someone whose personal example inspires you.
并且这个人他以身作则，他本人就是一个例子，能够来给予你灵感，给予你鼓舞，让你想要在灵性生活中进步。
And someone who you can talk to, who you can reveal your doubts to or misunderstandings to, and they can clear away those doubts and misunderstandings.
并且你可以和这个人交流，你能够向他揭示你内心的困惑，你内心的这些疑虑，以及你对比如说知识或者对灵修的这些误解等等的，那么这个人他有能力能够来消除你的疑虑，消除你的误解。
In that respect, you know, a shiksha guru is more important than a diksha guru.
如此从这一方面来看的话呢 ，shiksha guru 也就是训示灵性导师，反而比你的 diksha guru 你的启迪灵性导师是更加重要的。
Yeah, so you can accept someone like that as your guide.
就是你可以接受这样的人作为你的向导。
And that's your connection.
这就是你的连接。
And you're also connected to Prabhupada in the same way if you follow Prabhupada's instructions.
并且的话呢，如果你遵循帕帕的训示，那么你也和帕帕建立起了这样的连接。
And Prabhupada says that there's no difference between the Shiksha Guru and the Diksha Guru.
并且他说在 Shiksha Guru 和 Diksha Guru 之间是没有区别的。
And first you get a Shiksha Guru, and later on, that Shiksha Guru will become your Diksha Guru.
所以首先你在你的 Shiksha Guru 那里，你的训示灵性导师那里得到认可，得到同意。对，得到同意，然后肯定，然后后来接着的话呢，你的 Shiksha Guru 就会成为你的 Diksha Guru。
So you can make a commitment, you know, to a Shiksha Guru, and that will be your connection, and you can make spiritual advancement in that way.
Spiritual advancement in that way. 就是你可以向你的 Shiksha Guru 做出这样的坚定的承诺，然后那么。就以这样的方式的话呢，你就能得以在灵性生活中取得进步。Pretty much, she's actually asking that the husband does not support her, does not agree with her taking shelter from spiritual master.
You can follow the path of Krishna consciousness without getting initiated.
If the husband does not agree, then she can still follow the path of Krishna consciousness without getting initiated.
Yeah, well, if she wants to follow the path of Krishna consciousness, she can. And if her husband doesn't agree, and she's not going to follow the path of Krishna consciousness, then there's no need to discuss initiation.
So you go like, you spoke faster, could you repeat?
So she's saying that her husband won't allow her to get initiated, right?
所以你提到就是你的丈夫不同意你去脱离灵性导师去获得启迪，对吧？
Yeah, so if she wants, can she, you know,she can still follow the path of Krishna consciousness even if she doesn't get initiated.
所以说的话呢，即便你没有得到启迪，没有去脱避，你仍然是可以去遵循 Krishna 知觉的这条道路的，你仍然是可以选择这条道路的，即便你没有得到启迪。
So she can, she can follow the path according to her capacity.
所以说你是可以根据你自己的能力，根据你自己的这个能力范围的话呢，来追随这条道路。
Yeah, but she should do it in such a way that it doesn't cause problems. problems in her relationship with her husband.
而你再去追随 Krishna 知觉的这条道路的方式，是应该不会引发你和你丈夫的关系出现任何的这种问题的。
I don't think there's more I can say on that.
Oh, okay, okay, that's it, huh? Okay, 好，我们来看下一个问题。Kodanitai Madaji 问的 ，Guma Raja， 您已经教我们如何专注地念诵圣名了，为什么我们还到处去寻找其他的方法呢？您已经告诉我们练习临在与释放的艺术是我们人生的头等大事，但是我们怎么还是习惯性地随着习性去生活？So Kodanitai here is asking that.Gumaraj, you have already taught us how to chant the holy name with concentration, but how come we still try to search for other methods, other approaches? And you have already told us that practicing, being present and releasing is the priority of our life, but why is it that we still just follow our habits, to live our life?
Well, those habits have a momentum there. They're hard to overcome.
因为我们的习性的话呢是有一定的适能的，就是说我们是很难去克服我们的习性的。
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's one of the stages of bhakti is anarjanyaviti, overcoming those habits.
所以说这个 bhakti,的阶段之一就是 anatta nirviti 这个不结的清除，也就是我们去得以去战胜克服我们的习性。
And the mind is always looking for a silver bullet.
A silver what?
A silver bullet.
Bullet.
A silver bullet means some magic way, you know, that gives immediate results.
I see. 并且的话呢，我们的心意总是去想要去找捷径，总是去想要寻找到那个一夜之间就可以给我们带来美好结局的这样一个神奇的东西，神奇的事物。
So the ego, a false ego, actually wants to be free of suffering and achieve liberation.
我们的假我实际上也想要从痛苦当中解脱出来，我们的假我实际上也想要得到解脱。
And it's always attracted to hearing this way or that way.
而我们的假我总是被这种方法呀、那个法门啊、然后这种修习模式啊所吸引。
It's eager to try different methods and techniques because it has hope that this.Technique will free me from suffering and give me liberation.
然后我们的假我总是热切的想要去尝试这种方式，然后那个技法，然后这种技能，然后就觉得，然后能找到了下一个方式技能的话呢，能够让我们立刻从痛苦当中解脱出来。
So the ego actually enjoys hearing about different techniques and trying different techniques because.That way it can stay hopeful.
因此假我实际上是非常享受去聆听不同的教导，不同的这个方式法门，然后并且尝试各种各样的技法，各种各样的方式法门，然后就这样的方式的话呢，假我就可以使得他一直保持期望，保持这种希望，充满了希望。
Yeah, so the ego will motivate you to hear from many teachers and to keep hearing the same thing over and over. as long as it keeps you hopeful.
然后因此假我的话呢，会督促着你，会推动着你去聆听许多老师的不同的教导，然后让你聆听的都是这种同样的东西，又在上面聆听同样的东西。反正不管怎样，只要假我让你继续的保持对未来的希望，然后假我的这个工作就做到了。
But if you actually discover the doorway to awakening, which is living in the present,
然后如果你真的已经发现了，能够，在灵性上觉醒的入口，这个灵性觉醒的入口，也就是活在当下，也就只是存在于 活在当下。
Yeah. You either won't like it.
而假如我是不喜欢这样的这种教导的。
It likes to read about it. It likes to hear about it.
因为假如我喜欢去阅读觉悟，阅读这个开悟，然后假如我喜欢去聆听这个跟开悟有关的、跟解脱有关的这些东西。
Yeah, because the ego is about the future or the past.
因为假如我都是关乎于未来和过去。
Yeah, so when you're hoping for liberation or hoping for freedom from suffering, then you're actually in the future.
因此当你去期望获得解脱，当你去期望从痛苦当中解脱出来，去获得解脱的话，那么假如我实际上是很喜欢这种状态的，因为你就活在未来了。
You're living in the mind and you're observing the future, and your ego is in control, it loves it.
然后你活在你的心意之中，你完全沉浸在对未来的希望和盼望之中。假如我是非常喜欢这样的状态的，因为假如我仍然在控制着你。
But if you actually bring your attention to the present,
然而如果你真正的把你的注意力放到当下此刻，
when the ego disappears,
那么假如我就会消失。
Because you're no longer in the mind.
因为此时的你就没有再活在心意之中，
因为你 real self aware，
你就活在这个真正的自我，这种自我觉知之中。
And the ego freaks out，
然后于是假我就吓坏了。
And says there's nothing here，
然后假我就跟你说，你临在当下，真的临在当下，什么都没有啊。
I don't like this，
我一点都不喜欢这个当下，有啥意思吗
？I'm losing my identity. I don't know who I am.
我临在当下，我都失去我的身份了，我不知道我是谁。
And it will pull you back into the mind. No, you should try this technique. This present stuff is no good.
然后假如我又再次的把你拉拽回到心之中，对你说，你应该尝试下那个人教的那种法门，然后那个会让你获得解脱的。
And to chant the holy name without offense, you actually have to be here.
要想不到冒犯的念诵圣名，就意味着你必须在当下的这里，在为圣名而临在。
So that you can just hear the holy name.
当你真正在这里的时候，你就可以真正的听到圣名。
You can't be thinking about the past or thinking about the future and actually chant the holy name. Then you're not present.
你不可能同时想着过去或者想着未来的这样一种状态来念诵圣灵，因为如果是这样的话，你就并没有真的听到圣灵。
So usually when we're chanting, the ego will keep us busy by thinking about the past and the future while we're chanting.
因此当我们在念诵的时候，假如往往会让我们忙碌起来，假如会让我们忙着去想着过去，想着未来，然后在我们念诵的时候就是这样的一种状态。
So, you know, the reason we find it difficult to advance in chanting is one, because we have a habit of addictive thinking.
导致我们难以在念诵当中取得进步的原因之一，第一个就是我们的这样一种习惯，一种习性，那就是对思考上瘾的这样一种习性。
And two, the false ego doesn't want you to be present because when you're present, it's not in control of you.
第二个原因就是，假我并不喜欢你临在，因为当你临在当下的时候，假我就并没有处在掌控之中。
Because when you're present, you're letting go of your false self, and your false self doesn't want that.
因为当你临在的时候，你是放手了你的假我的，所以说假我不喜欢你把它给丢开了。
Even though the false ego is not alive, it's not conscious, it's a computer program, it's like artificial intelligence that won't let you do it.
即便假我没有生命，假我就像是一个电脑程序，这个人工智能一样，但是的话，它仍然不喜欢，仍然不愿意，就是不存在，没有去掌控到你。
But when you do learn to be a little bit present, then you can watch the ego.
然而当你确实是有一点点临在的时候，你就可以去观察你的假我了。
And then as soon as you see the ego, then it disappears and it doesn't have control anymore.
一旦当你看到你的假我，假我就立刻消失了，它就无法再继续掌控你了。
so you're able to spend more and more time awake and present and awake actually hearing the Holy Name.
由此的话呢，你就能够有更多的时间用在投入在当下觉醒之中，有更多的时间能够真正在当下念诵圣名的时候听到圣名。
And then eventually the false ego begins to relax and then surrenders.
最后到最后，假我就会真正的放松下来，真正的臣服于你。
When it sees you're actually the master that you've awakened.
假我就会真正的看到你才是主人，他会看到你已经觉醒了，你才是主人。
So it takes some time and it takes some real determination.To live in the present and give up the illusion.
所以说是需要一些时间，并且需要一些真正坚定的决心，才能够让自己愿意活在当下，并且放弃幻觉。
Yeah, you have to surrender to the fact that there is no life, there is no reality outside of the present.
你必须要臣服于这个事实，那就是除了当下之外的任何时刻都是没有生命、没有现实的。
When you're in the mind, you're thinking about the past and the future.
当你在心之中的时候，你就是在思考着过去和未来。
You're not here.
你就没有在这里。
And what you're experiencing is not real.
由于你没有在这里，你是活在心意之中，因此你所体验到的就并不是真实的。
So once you begin to realize that, then the false ego will have much less power over you.
而一旦当你真正觉悟到这一点，觉悟到除了当下此刻之外的其他任何时刻都是没有生命、没有现实的话，那么你的假我就会逐渐。对你的假我对你的掌控力对你的控制就会逐渐越来越减少
yeah, You start to see the difference between the reality of life in the present and the illusory world of the thinking
你就会得以看到活在当下生命的现实之中和活在心意的虚幻幻觉之中这二者之间的区别
Okay, thank you
谢谢你的问题 Next one、我们来看下一个问题 Nimavati Didi Nimavati Madaji 问顶拜侮辱和翻译不敢当请问为什么我一大清早念诵就想睡觉我5月16号第一次起礼、So this Madaji is asking that I just got my first initiation on May the 16th So my question is thatHow come that in the early morning that when I start chanting and I just feel very sleepy?
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with your initiation.
我想你说到你一大清早念诵就想睡觉这一点跟你第一次起疑并没有任何关系。
If you're sleepy in the early morning, it may be because you're not getting enough sleep at night.
如果你在一大清早就想睡觉的话，这有可能是因为你晚上睡得不够。
So the first thing, you know, if you're going to get up early, then you have to make sure you get to bed early.
所以说你想保证大清早能够起得了床，能够不想睡觉不打瞌睡的话，那你就要保证自己晚上早点上床睡觉。
Yeah, and if you're going to go to bed early and get up early, then you have to make sure that you don't eat late.
而如果你想早睡早起的话，那你就要确保就是不能晚上太晚吃饭。
So first, I would look at those aspects of your daily schedule. Are you eating late? Are you sleeping late?
所以首先呢，就需要去看看你的日常生活作息安排，是不是晚上吃饭的时间比较晚啊？然后是不是晚上上床睡觉的时间比较晚
？Well, she got initiated in May. Does that mean she got initiated by mail or internet?
姑姑说你说到这个月，然后才启迪，是不是你是在网上被启迪了，或者是在这个通过邮件被启迪了？因为那个疫情的原因
that may be the reality, so, you know?
确实这个就现在成了现实了就不得不如是这样来进行了。 Okay, we'll watch the next one.
Yeah.
Okay, 我们来看下一个问题。Chandra Vilasani 妈妈请问顶拜姑顶拜翻译我不敢当请问您一个问题我老公不是奉献者他平常也不管我他的事也不会跟我说但当他心里有不开心的时候有时候在家里看到我就吼我大呼小叫的他的好事就跟我没关系他的坏事就跟我有关系然后他还会对我发泄对我吼然后这种情况我心里有时候就控制不住自己去问他一些事儿管他一些事儿然后这样我感觉会影响到我的心情及休息 Krishna 知觉请问Guru这种情况我怎么做更好呢谢谢、So Chandra Vinasani let us hear is offering her businesses unto you and she's asking that, she's saying that my husband is not a devotee and usually my husband doesn't care about me eitherhe only cares about his own business and he wouldn't tell me what he's been doing. However, whenever he feels not happy and at home when he sees me that he would scream at me and yell at me. So anything that's good happening to him that he there's nothing that has no relationship with me. However, anything bad that happens to him that has relationship with me. So, when in this kind of situation, sometimes I also feel that I cannot help but to control him with regards to certain things and ask him about certain things. However, when I do this, I feel like it would affect my mood and it would affect my spiritual practice.So my question for you is that how I should deal with this situation. Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds very horrible and very difficult.
就听你描述到这个状况的话呢，听起来真的很糟糕。然后，听起来真的很挺糟糕的。
Yeah, so it sounds like if I hear what you're saying that.Your husband is always taking out his frustration on you.
所以听起来好像是你的丈夫总是把他的这个怨气，他的这种受挫的心态，来发泄在你身上。
And that sounds very unfair, and it also sounds like it's beyond your control.
所以听起来的话呢，是对你非常不公平的，但同时听起来也是超过了你的掌控范围之外的。
And when you stick up for yourself or you confront him about his mistreatment, then you feel disturbed.
当你就说去直面他对你的这种不公平的对待的时候的话呢，你听起来好像是你的心情会受到打扰。
Yes, so you don't really have much control over him, the only thing you have control over is how you're responding.
所以说实际上你对于你的丈夫是没有什么掌控没有什么控制可言的但是的话呢你却可以控制你自己控制你对他对待你的方式的反应
So it sounds like in this case the most you can do right now is to you know release your frustration release your anger and treat your husband as very insignificant.
Treat your husband very insignificantly.
Whatever he says is just crazy. You know, like you treat him like a crazy person. Don't take it so personally. That this person is, you know, under the influence of mind and he's crazy.
Okay, 所以说就你谈到的这种状况的话呢我觉得你目前能够做的最多的事情那就是去释放掉你的愤怒感释放掉你的受挫的心情那么并且的话呢你能明白你的丈夫是完全处于这种 Maya 的影响之下可以说他是很疯狂的因此你不需要把他说的那些话或者是对待你的方式就是完全是认为是针对你个人的对，就是不要太把他的那种言行太当一回事认为是针对你自己。
It's also helpful to remember that, you know, in most cases, we have a choice to, you know, to stay or to go.
并且的话呢， 我们要记住一点，这一点也能够很好的帮到我们，那就是在很多情况下我们都是有选择的，我们可以选择离开，或者我们可以选择继续留下来。
And of course you know, both options have their advantages and disadvantages. There's probably no ideal option.
对，当然的话呢，这个选择离开和选择留下来，这两种选择都是既有优点又有缺点的，所以说你不可能能够在这两种选择当中找到任何一种很理想的一种选择。
Yeah, so if you can't leave the situation or it's not what you really want, then just try and make the best use of the bad bargain.
Make the best use of the bad bargain. 所以说的话呢，如果你无法离开这样的一种状况，然后或者这也并不是你想要的，那么你就可以在自己已经遇到了这么糟的情况之下的话呢，能够最大化的来利用这样的一种糟糕的情况。
So use it as a motivation to increase your Krishna consciousness.
也就是说，你把这样的状况当作是一种动力，在推动着你在 Krishna 知觉中前进。
So you find real happiness within that doesn't depend on external circumstances.
也就是你能够在内心去找到真正的幸福快乐感，而你内在的幸福快乐并不取决于外在的状况。
And there are many cases, you know, in the history of devotees, that it's these miserable circumstances that actually helps us, you know, to awaken from Maya and to let go of our attachment to the material world.
You were saying that in the beginning part, that in many cases in the history of devotees.
Yes, if you look at the history of a devotee's life, there's usually some very miserable situation that is the catalyst for them awakening and waking up out of illusion and finding their happiness.
并且的话呢，如果你去观察，如果你去了解奉献者的人生历史，就是在很多奉献者的这种人生历史、人生阶段当中的话呢，就是他们的人生中发生了一些非常糟糕非常可怕的事情，然后这些非常糟糕可怕的事情却像催化剂一样的帮助了他们从玛雅的幻觉当中苏醒过来，然后帮助他们都去放手对这个物质世界的依附。
So there are many 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 people that are living secret lives of desperation.
Many married people live the secret life of desperation.
Secretly, miserable and desperate.
Miserable and desperate. 所以许多许多的已婚人士，他们实际上私底下是活得非常的迫切，然后活得非常的痛苦的。
They're very disappointed.
他们是非常非常失望的。
But they don't see anywhere else.
因为他们看不到任何人任何出路。
And they don't know the secret of happiness within of real Krishna consciousness.
They don't know the secret
of happiness within, which is real Krishna consciousness.
Okay. 他们不知道这个真正的内在的幸福，而这种真正的去获得真正内在幸福的秘诀，而这个真正的内在的幸福就是而这种内在的幸福感，那就是真正的 Krishna 知觉。
So my advice is, you know, I don't know your situation, but just generally speaking, don't take anything that happens in the material world personally and find happiness within.
因此我给你的建议就是，总的来说，因为我不了解你的个人状况嘛，所以总的来说我给你的建议就是请你不要把物质世界当中发生的一切都当作是针对你个人的，都当作是在对于你这个人来说，他们是在发生在你身上，不要这样来想，而是把这些发生在你身上的事情当作是动力。So you can imagine what's the last part to find happiness within, 当作是动力来 推动着你去从内寻找快乐幸福。
Yeah, I mean, this material world is like a psych ward. Everyone's crazy.
Like a mental house, mental.
Yes.
嗯，所以这个物质世界就像是个疯人院一样，每个人都是疯人院里的疯子。
Yeah, you know, if I know that, you know, when I used to have psych patients or drunk patients, because I knew they were crazy, no matter what they said to me, it didn't hurt me because I knew they were crazy.
嗯，我曾经就见识过的一些病人，就是吸毒的人呐、啊，然后或者是这种就是精神病患者，所以说无论他们对我说什么、做什么。然后我都不会啊、哦，我都不会就说太当一回事儿，因为我知道这些人是疯子，然后就是他们的精神不正常，然后所以说他们对我说什么做什么我都并不在意。
At the same time, you know, we don't have to live in a house with somebody who's abusing us.
嗯。
We don't have to tolerate that unless we do.
而同时的话呢，我们并不需要和一个虐待我们的人同居于一个屋檐之下，同处于一个屋檐之下，我们不需要去容忍这样的一种状况，这样一种生活状况，除非我们去容忍，除非我们能够真正的容忍。
Yeah, so I don't know your situation, so it's hard for me to say.
其实由于我不了解你的个人状况，其实我很难去评，很难去判断的。OK。
Okay,
next one. 我们来看下一个问题。开心妈妈姐问，顶戴公路翻译主持人还有所有的奉献者，请问公路，我女儿之前跟我在一起的时候已经念诵，也知道 Krishna， 但是后来因为我身体不行了，我们分开了。她爸爸把她带走了，跟别的女人结婚了。现在孩子不念诵，我没有办法，孩子受他们影响很大，他现在就如同在恶魔堆里成长。女儿离开我的时候10岁，现在12岁，他们不让女儿来我这里，威胁他，我只能向 Krishna 祈祷，希望他以后能再想起 Krishna， 这样有用吗？或者我怎么做对他最好？感恩公路。So this Mataji is offering her businesses onto you and every devotees on the class, and she's asking that previously the daughter was living together with her, and together the daughter would chant and mantra with her, and also know about Krishna. However, later the father, which is her husband.Took the daughter away and married another woman. So now the daughter doesn't chant anymore, and I couldn't really do anything because, and the kid is heavily affected, influenced by them, and she, as if she's really just growing among demons. So when the daughter leaves me,left me, she was 10, and now she's 12. So the father and the father's, and with the husband, ex-husband and ex-husband and wife, don't allow the daughter to come visit me and threaten her. So all I can do is just pray to Krishna, that pray for my daughter that in the future the daughter would think of Krishna. Will this help? Or what can I actually do to...give her the best that will be the most beneficial to her. Thank you.
Wow, another sad, horrible situation.
这就是提到的另一个非常糟糕的一个状况啊。
So the best thing we can do for our children and for our relatives is to actually be Krishna conscious ourselves.
因此我们能够对自己的孩子，对我们的亲人能做的最好的事情，那就是我们能够让自己真正的成为真正的拥有 Krishna 知觉。
So that means to actually be humble.
这就意味着我们能够真正的谦卑下来。
To actually be tolerant.
能够真正的去容忍。
And to actually be respectful towards them.
并且能够真正的去尊敬他人。
Everyone has a choice to be Krishna conscious or not. We can't force it.
每个人都是有选择来成不成为 Krishna 的奉献者，来愿不愿意培养 Krishna 知觉。我们是不能去强迫另一个人来成为 Krishna 的奉献者的。
The worst thing we can do is to appear to be a religious fanatic.
Appear to be?
act like a religious fanatic. Be a religious fanatic.
因此我们能做的最糟糕的一件事，那就是完全像个宗教狂热分子一样的，然后去传教或者去强迫别人接受宗教。
Yeah, so you shouldn't expect them to be Krishna conscious, and you shouldn't criticize them for not being Krishna conscious.
因此的话呢，你不应该期望别人也是有 Krishna 知觉，你不应该去批评别人，不是 Krishna 知觉的奉献者。
Yeah, but just become a more happy or compassionate person yourself.
所以就让你自己成为一个更加快乐、幸福、更加有同情、怜悯之心的人吧。
Yeah, so if you're Krishna conscious, you must be happy. You cannot be unhappy and be Krishna conscious. They don't go together.
所以如果你真正具有 Krishna 知觉的话，那你肯定是一个非常快乐幸福的人的。你不可能在自己过得不快乐、过得不幸福的这种状况下，还仍然是有 Krishna 知觉，这是不可能的。因为痛苦或者是不快乐和 Krishna 知觉是并不可能同时存在的。
And hopefully, maybe not immediately, but over time, maybe they'll relax. And when your daughter, you know, when she's 18 and she's left home, then maybe at that time you can have a normal relationship with her.
那么能够期望的就是随着时间的推移，可能不是现在哈，不是立刻，那么慢慢的，他们就可以放松下来，然后也就是说，你的前夫或者和他的前夫的这个妻子，然后他们能够放松下来，然后等到你女儿年满18岁，她离开家园，然后比如去读大学等等的话，那么此时你就可以和你的女儿再次有这种正常的这种往来、正常的关系。
Okay, anything else? Any more questions?
One more.
Okay, good, because I'm running out of time.
好，我们来看最后一个问题。Amy 这位分享者问：请问尊敬的导师，我自从修习 Krishna 知觉，妈妈有了笑容。之前我学佛8年，妈妈都板着脸，而且妈妈从头到尾就是默认了我从佛教到 Krishna 知觉，心里满满喜悦。这是超灵在她心里起作用了吗？我只学了2个月，还什么都不懂。So this girl Amy, she's asking you, that a respectful, teacher.Respectful spiritual master. Ever since that I get into Krishna consciousness, well, which so far I have only studied Krishna consciousness, get into it for 2 months. I don't know really much. And my mother started to have smiles. Previously, I was being a Buddhist for 8 years, but my mother was never happy. Always that she had a poker face. And then, so...Basically, my mother from beginning until now just agreed with me silently converting myself from Buddhism to Krishna consciousness. And so I feel very happy within. Is this because the super soul in her heart that has made her to change like this, to be like this? That's her question.
Possible.
有可能确实是超灵在他的心里起了作用。
Just be happy.
所以你就对此感到开心，感到快乐就行。
Yeah. And I give you the same advice, you know, don't be a religious fanatic.
我还是会给到你同样的建议，那就是不要去做一个宗教狂热分子。
Don't expect others to follow your path.
不要去期望着别人也要来遵循你选择的道路。
But if others like your mother support your path, then be very grateful.
而的话呢，对于你的亲人，比如说你的妈妈给予你这样的支持的话呢，是心怀感恩之情。
Yeah, so just become truly happy and Krishna conscious yourself, and everything will work out.
所以说就让你自己能够真正的在 Krishna 知觉当中快乐幸福起来，那么所有其他的一切都会水到渠成的自然而然的发生的。
Thank you for sharing.
嗯，并且感谢你的分享。
Okay, so we're gonna go.
Okay.
So thank you, Sumuki, and thank you, Ryan, for making this special time today.
嗯，感谢 Sumuki 妈妈姐今天专门抽时间，然后来帮我们录制这个课程。
And I thank you all for who's over listening to this broadcast. And if you have any questions for today from our talk, please send them in.
嗯，感谢今天来听课的每一位奉献者。如果你们有什么问题的话呢，欢迎你们能够发上来。
And also, any reflections you have.
嗯，当然还会，当然还请你们能够分享一下你们的感想、心得。
All glories to Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. See you next week. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guruji. See you next week. 所有的荣耀都归于帕帕，所有的荣耀都归于圣典波迦瓦坛。大家下周见。百昆塔之音服务员于聆听今天的讲课到此结束。阿里克西达，愿大家有美好的知觉的一天。